So my friends, be very careful who you believe. Be very careful whose words you take to heart. Be very careful of all of these professional race baiters. Not only are they out to get the Jews, they're out to get all of you. Never forget that. Meanwhile, in the bigger news of the day, there's some interesting stuff going on about immigration. Donald Trump gave a speech saying that his immigration deal is a military operation. He said he's going to use the military to enforce his immigration, legislation. Well, he was corrected immediately. DHS Secretary Kelly rules out troops for immigration. He clarifies Trump's claim. In other words, he corrected the president. Now, I don't know about you, but I never elected General Kelly to run a kennel. Were you given the option to vote for General Kelly or for Donald Trump? Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly corrected President Trump after Trump said his new deportation policies were a military operation. Kelly said there will be no use of military forces in immigration, repeating that statement several times and pleading with the press that at least half of you try to get that right. Kelly and Secretary of State Tillerson were in Mexico to meet their counterparts as the two countries try to move forward under a Trump administration. In other words, they shafted the president in public. I would fire Kelly if I were the president. I'd fire him right now. He's caved into the Mexican officials. I would fire General. I don't care if he's a general or he's God himself. He just embarrassed the president. Get rid of him. He's no good. He's no good. He's not a maverick. He's a sellout. He's a weasel. And I'm going to go right now to something I'm warning you about. I'm going to warn you about it over and over again until you finally hear me. Are you one of the millions of people who elected Donald Trump because you wanted him to take the country back? Of course you are. That's why you are loyal listeners to the Savage Nation. But who's standing in Donald Trump's way? In the back of Trump's war, I say, far-left radicals who have taken over the Democrat Party. That's a given. That would be Pelosi. That would be Ellison. That's who we mean are far-left radicals. They're plain for the eye to see. Who else is standing in Trump's way? Rhinos, Republicans in name only, protecting their big business special interests. Who would that be? That would be former Speaker John Boehner, who said Obamacare will not be repealed. That's what I mean by rhinos. Who else is standing in his way? Liberal media, who will stop at nothing to bring Trump down. You know all of that, right? But who else do I point out is standing in his way? Who are the hidden enemies of Trump's agenda? It's all in here. In the chapter under Trump's war to restore the military, and Trump's war against the war machine, and Trump's war against the rhinos, you will see that I warn you that the Kellys of the world are going to stop Trump at every turn. Now, Trump has an option right now. He could fire General Kelly. Why does he care what the Mexicans think? Did the Mexican government help America by flooding us with the flotsam and jetsam of their own country who they couldn't provide jobs, health care, housing, legal care? Think about what I just said to you. Mexico is a corrupt socialist narco-dictatorship. And so they have millions of people, mainly young men who have no jobs, no health care, no work, no nothing. And they flood them into the United States of America. Do we owe them anything? What do we owe the Mexican government? The fact of the matter is the Mexican government owes us billions of dollars. And why don't Mexicans want to live in their beautiful nation? It's a beautiful country, isn't it? Why don't they go home and make Mexico great again? Why don't they go home and make Mexico great again? In fact, I think the Border Patrol should give them hats that say, make Mexico great again, and send them on a one-way ticket back across the Rio Grande. Kelly should be fired. Do you agree with me that General Kelly, in stepping on Donald Trump's words about immigration, should be fired? Do you agree with me that DHS Secretary Kelly overstepped his authority in his statement as he conveyed it? Do you agree with me that General Kelly is now a liability? Do you agree with me that he is now more dangerous than Kellyanne Conway was, who has been, by the way, sidelined? She's been sidelined to be speaking at the JV conference that's going on right now. She's speaking at a conference, a JV conference, and there she is. DHS Secretary Kelly rules out troops for immigration. That's just shortly after the president said that his immigration policies are a military operation. If I get to see Donald Trump again, I'm going to tell him that he's got to work within his own administration first, that some of his biggest enemies are inside the government. 855-407-282. On a trivial note, there's a guy on television who I've always despised. I think he's a loudmouth, low-life, talentless drug addict. At least he sounds like a drug addict. He speaks like a drug addict. He talks like a drug addict. I have no idea whether he uses drugs. But I've never been impressed with his activities. I personally think that if HBO did not have a fake audience for him, with fake applause and fake laughter, he wouldn't be on television. His name is Bill Maher. I don't know the man. I have no vendetta against him. I just think he has no talent whatsoever. He condones sex between a 12-year-old and an adult in a 1998 video that surfaced just the other day. This is the same midget, Bill Maher, who pretends to be a big tough guy on Sunset Boulevard as he struts around the hotels of Sunset Boulevard with his bodyguards. Bill Maher the midget said he brought down the embarrassment of the conservative movement. This character creep Milo, who I always thought was a low-class, trailer-park trash individual, says he brought down Milo by having him on the show. But the next day we read that Bill Maher condoned sex between a 12-year-old boy and an adult woman in a 1998 video. Can anyone explain to me why HBO has not fired him? Listen to clip one.
Mary Kay Letourneau, the teacher from Seattle, who is in jail because she is in love. That's how I view it. I admit that it's unorthodox. She is 35. The boy is 14. He was younger when they started. But the big story
this
week...
Has he been bar mitzvahed?
Have I?
No, is he?
Oh. Okay. But she is pregnant.
See, this is not
funny.
That
was the story this week. With the second child by this boy. So basically they're having a family and they're keeping the mother in jail because she won't conform to what society feels should be the perfect American family.
Bill Maher should be fired, yes or no? He just condoned rape. Did Bill Maher just condone rape? Yes or no? What is that? What would you call that? I guess no one cares about what Bill Maher says. I mean, I understand why you don't care what he says. He's a nobody. But he is supported to the tune of millions and millions of dollars a year by HBO that poisons the mind of America and the world with their constant stream of sex and violence. And what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. He said he got Milo fired for talking about giving fellatio and becoming an expert at fellatio owing to a Catholic priest's lessons when he was a young boy. And since Milo was then seen as a guy who condoned or allegedly condoned or appeared to have condoned pedophilia, they threw him off the platform. As publisher Simon & Schuster took back their advance, so far as we know. And the next day we find out that the man who supposedly brought him down, none other than the cowardly midget Bill Maher, condoned sex between a 12-year-old boy and a woman that was 35 years old. She raped this kid. You agree with me or not? Listen to clip 02.
Absolutely sickening.
What is sickening?
A woman who's over 20 years older, and she raped this kid.
Raped?
Well.
Come on.
She forced?
How do you know? And how can you?
Well, how do you know that she didn't rape him?
How can a woman know that she didn't seduce him? How can a woman rape a man?
This is what passes for comedy in the sick, demented minds of the vermin who run HBO. These sex-mad drug addicts who run HBO are worse than Bill Maher. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Let me be very, very clear. There will be no mass deportations. Everything we do in DHS will be done legally and according to human rights and the legal justice system of the United States. No repeat no use of military force in immigration operations. None.
Fire General Kelly. General Kelly just criticized, embarrassed the President of the United States, who just a few hours before had said it will be a military operation to rid this nation of the gangsters who are ruling the streets, killing police, operating at will in the United States of America. Trump wants them out of this country. Just the other day, because Moonbeam Brown in California ordered the prisons to release people from prisons for reasons no one could understand, one of the gangbangers with tattoos all over his face and eyes, he looked like out of Apocalypto, shot two cops, killed one of them, wounded the other partner, and of course was given the best medical care in the world by Governor Moonbeam, who is afraid of the ACLU complaining for 1 second about the maltreatment of prisoners. Trump wants the gangsters out of this country, those who have committed multiple felonies, those who are in prison, and he must use the military to do it. Well, his head of DHS just said, no, I'm not doing it. There'll be no military use. So who is going to remove them from the country? Should General Kelly be fired? Is a very valid question. I believe he has overstepped his authority and should be fired in plain English. If someone works for you, who you hire, he's not elected. Who the hell is General Kelly? Who is he? Who is General Kelly? Another great war hero. Man doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He just criticized the commander-in-chief because he thinks he's smarter than him. Did you vote for General Kelly? I didn't. Then we have the issue of child molestation. Bill Maher condoned sex between a 12-year-old boy and a 35-year-old woman in a 1998 video that was just released. I am saying Bill Maher must be thrown off HBO. He is condoning child molestation. When I come back, I will tell you about the culture wars. Trump's culture wars. Nobody is talking about the culture wars except me in Trump's war. We're talking about two totally different subjects, aren't we? One of Trump's appointees, General Kelly, put in charge of DHS. Now, anybody would be an improvement over the last cretin, Jay Johnson, who was a Wall Street lobbyist and lawyer, put there to make sure that as many illegals flooded into America as possible, that American conservatives were targeted by the DHS, that Christians would have to bake cakes for people they didn't want to bake cakes for. That's what DHS was doing to us for 8 straight years under Obama. So don't get me wrong, anything is better. But for General Kelly to get up today and basically override the president, saying the military will not be used to deport dangerous criminals, he's saying no troops for immigration enforcement after meetings in Mexico City. So the Mexicans turned him. And this was just hours after President Trump said his new deportation policies were a military operation. I'm quoting him now. He just said this hours ago. Trump said his new deportation policies were a military operation. He was overridden by his appointee, who said there will be no use of military forces in immigration. This is while Kelly was in Mexico meeting with Mexican officials. Now, why should we give a rat's behind what Mexican officials think about our deportation policies when it's they themselves who have flooded us with their unwanted, by the way? I'll let you figure this one out. Then we have a TV comedian, Bill Maher, who is, I think, one of the unfunniest men in the world. He lives off the laugh machines and the largesse of the HBO maniacs, and he's entitled to it. But after taking credit for having gotten the provocateur, white trash Milo, fired for condoning a pedophilia, somebody found a 1998 video where Bill Maher condoned sex between a 12-year-old boy and a 30-some-odd-year-old woman. He got her pregnant. Now, I think that this is sickening, and I think that HBO has an obligation to the American people, but of course they don't, so what's the difference what I think? And that leads me to Trump's culture wars. No one's talking about the culture. There's no mention of cultural topics. Have you heard anyone, even in the Trump administration, talk about pornography or the drug epidemic? I haven't really heard it. This is from the chapter in the great book, Trump's War. And I want to go into this for 1 minute and then get back to the news. Let me tell you what American culture has been for most of our history. Until the 1960s, I write, America was a socially conservative nation based on Judeo-Christian morality, the Protestant work ethic, and love of country. Businessmen used to be called captains of industry and were revered for their achievements. Working people found long hours and frugality rewarding, knowing that even if they never became millionaires themselves, they were building a better future for their children. I was raised that way. Americans have always loved a party, but sobriety and responsibility were virtues. Licentiousness and excess were frowned upon. The man who allowed drunkenness to impair his ability to provide for his family was called a drunk. The man who wasn't faithful to his wife was called a cad. As late as the 1950s, Americans overwhelmingly loved their country. They revered the founding fathers as pioneers of the ideas that had built the bountiful society that they enjoyed. Everyone sought to emulate wealthy businessmen rather than excoriate them as exploiters or victim workers. Most people dutifully attended religious services and thanked God for their blessings they had received. They worked and complained little. Complaining about one's circumstances used to be considered a sign of personal weakness. People used to talk about how they were going to improve their own condition, not what somebody else owed them. Anyone under 40 reading this probably thinks I'm talking about another planet. Certainly nothing I've just said or written describes America today. The wealthy are now vilified, no matter how honestly they earn their money, vilified. Licentiousness, drunkenness, and drug use are now revered as hip, while sobriety and self-control are denigrated as square. The Protestant work ethic persists out in flyover country, but in America's urban centers, it's extinct and laughed at. Rather than starting out at the bottom and working their way up the ladder as they gain skills and experience, America's barristers and burger flippers would rather protest until some politician forces employers to pay them more than they're worth. I then go into the entertainment industry in a subchapter called That's Not Entertainment. I think you could write that one yourself. I then go into a subchapter entitled Plato Warned Us. Oh, that's a great classic, what Plato wrote about entertainers thousands of years ago in Plato's Republic. He didn't write about Donnie Has Two Daddies, but he understood that that is what it would come to. What may surprise you is that the ancient Greek philosopher Plato wrote about entertainers. Plato foresaw the low-life degenerates who would come to dominate the entertainment world. He wrote a whole dialogue on artists and musicians and what they would do to society, quote, if amusements become lawless. Pay attention, HBO. Plato was writing about you, crazy SOBs from New York City. You degenerates, you. Plato said that music itself could bring with it a spirit of license, which at first appears harmless, but eventually penetrates all aspects of society, from manners and customs to contracts, laws, and constitutions. By doing so, he wrote, this spirit of license can result in the overthrow of all rights, private as well as public. Now, just think of today's rap stars rubbing their crotches on stage. Isn't that what Plato was talking about? Certainly such amusement is harmless, isn't it? Now, I can read more of it, but you're going to read it yourself in Trump's Culture Wars Found Within Trump's War. It's all there. But fortunately for us, God is back in America. Right now, we have an overlap of the degeneracy of the Obama years with the cleanliness of the Trump years that are just emerging. And yesterday on this program, I talked about God is back in America. And I talked about the fact that while many in the vermin media, the fake media, criticized and even mocked First Lady Melania Trump's reading of the Lord's Prayer at the rally Saturday in Florida, I saw it as a very significant and symbolic act. And I said this. Take a look at the currency that you have in your pocket, if you still have any paper currency, and you'll see statements such as, in God we trust. It doesn't say in Soros we trust. It doesn't say in Obama or Schumer we trust. It says in God we trust. God is back in America, and I think it was God's will that this underdog Donald Trump won. Now, it's been said that America loves an underdog, and it's true that America does love an underdog. It just shows you that the media is not America. It shows you that the government media complex is the old world order. It is not America. And that's why Trump calls those vermin in the media, or solenterates if you want to be classy about it, fake newsmen, fake newswomen. Trump is 100% right. I frankly was tearing up when Melania, Mrs. Trump, came out and read the Lord's Prayer. I cannot believe what I was listening to, that she had brought back God and dignity to the presidency after 8 years of the opposite. You're going to tell me Obama went to church? You're going to tell me Obama or Mrs. Obama ever referred to God in 8 years? So you've got to understand what this battle is about right now on this planet. It's those of us who believe that God exists or know that God exists and see God as good and God is behind America, and those who don't believe in God, the atheists who hate America and want a New World Order government to run this country and use it as a basic cannon fodder for their needs. It's all true. That's why I said it. The phone number here, if you care to comment on any of these topics, and I guess the questions to you are very simple. Should General Kelly be fired for basically, I shouldn't say criticizing, he conflicted what the president said. He overrode it as though he's the president. Here is a dumb military man, General Kelly, who let his power get to his head. General Kelly needs to be fired, in my opinion. I don't care how good he was on the battlefield. I don't care how good he was in NATO. I don't care how good he was bossing other soldiers around. He is a disaster as a politician, and he needs to be fired immediately. We need a new DHS secretary immediately. Agree or disagree? Yes or no? What do you think? Or on the issue of the TV clown, the small clown from HBO who uses laugh boxes to make you think he's more popular than he is. Has the small laugh clown from Sunset Boulevard ever made a quotable statement? You know, that's how I judge people in the media, whether they call themselves conservatives, Democrats, liberals, progressives. Have they ever said anything that will be remembered or can be quoted? With me, I have many things you'll remember. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Many, many things I have said. Borders, language, culture is probably my keynote phrase. But you know I was the one who created it and said it. Right? Liberalism is a mental disorder. Borders, language, culture. I have hundreds of things I have written and said that can be quoted. Does anyone know what the small clown from Sunset Boulevard has ever written or said that is quotable? Because I don't. KSFO Keith, line 6. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Savage, you know what? I think you're kind of missing this a little bit. Trump loves this country so much that Trump is letting Kelly have a power platform so he can show that his appointees are seen as having power in a sense, where he has said that in the past, where he didn't want all his appointees to be automatons, okay?
So you think it's okay for Kelly to criticize the president openly and say he's wrong, we're not using the military to deport dangerous Mexican criminals?
Well, yes, it's okay because it's part of the plan that Trump has. He wants to...
Oh, you mean Trump planned to be criticized by his appointees?
Exactly. That's exactly...
You mean Trump wanted to be overridden by people he hired?
Yes. Yes.
Come on. What world do you live in?
That's
not the way any businessman runs a business. If he's criticized in public, he usually fires the person who did it.
But you know what? I mean, Trump, he sees through it. He sees through all the media spin. He sees...
Wait, stop twisting the truth. We're not talking about the media here. We're talking about a general who Trump hired to run DHS who criticized the president openly. Hours after the President of the United States said this is a military operation to deport the dangerous gangbangers who are running wild in the streets, his DHS secretary goes to Mexico, gets turned around and says, this is not a military operation. That is not acceptable to me.
Well, it's all going to work out. Believe me, it will.
All right, you know something that no one else knows. You have a secret megaphone coming from God himself. Kelly should be thrown out on his 4 stars, or is it 3 stars? Cindy, KBOI, should General Kelly be fired, yes or no?
Yes, sir, you are so up, and I'm going to tell you, you are correct, sir. It is an honor to speak with you. The Ruah, the spirit just works through you. Sir, I was reading a book at 4 a.m. this morning, and, you know, one of the things, if you are in a small group of elite fighters, and that's called, special forces or special ops, and the one variable that they look for with all the training is that is relying 100% on each other. And that's why you totally understand, because you are just, it's been birthed in you to understand.
In other words, he has no loyalty to the man who hired him. He's already stepped on his words. He has criticized him. He's made the president into a bumbling fool. Kelly needs to go. It's that simple.
Yes.
Cindy, I got to run along. I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. Kelly is not following the rule of law. He is following Kelly's law. He thinks he is God Almighty. Dump General Kelly. That's my advice to the president. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have surgery to look years younger, but why would you want to do that? All you have to do is call now to try Esotique XV. I've told you about it. It's the absolute best, most advanced wrinkle treatment that is totally risk-free. Plus, Chamonix will give you the Genucel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes for free. You heard me? You heard me. I said free Genucel, a gift with no strings attached, just for ordering Esotique XV today. You'll look and feel years or even decades younger with flawless, silky smooth skin and no bags or puffiness. Without harmful surgery and injections, guaranteed, or you get your money back. Call right now. You'll also get a second surprise luxury gift. Absolutely free. Call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. Or visit www.xvbeauty.com. Order Esotique XV Wrinkle Cream now and get Genucel Puffiness Treatment and Genucel Immediate Effects absolutely free. Order right now and shipping is also free. 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. You got it? So now let's talk about what happens when a superior is publicly undermined by an inferior in the military. I was just sent an email. It says, in the military, isn't undermining a superior grounds for some level of discipline? It certainly is in law enforcement. For example, if the captain of a precinct gives a public statement about, let's say, some event that's ongoing, how it's going to be handled, and then hours later, a sergeant or lieutenant in the same precinct gets up and says the opposite, that sergeant would not be there very long. He'd be put on administrative leave. Is there anyone in the military who can tell me I am wrong? Shouldn't a general understand that he is not the boss, that he reports to the commander-in-chief? Yes or no? I know most of you don't think this is a big deal, so I can move on. The big issue is, how would you deport, I don't know how many of them there are, I would guess millions of them, how would you deport the millions of criminal illegal aliens in America? Let me ask you that question. These are tough guys. They're murderers, rapists. Murderers, rapists, some of the worst people on the planet. And they're running rampant in the United States of America. The cops are afraid of them. They're outgunning the police in Los Angeles. You and I both know there are neighborhoods that police in L.A. can't go into. It's like Malmo, Sweden, only it's not Muslims. It's Mexican gangs that the police are afraid of. How would you deport them? If they're here illegally, number one, and they've committed crimes, number two, how would you deport them other than using the military? Can you explain it to me? So Donald Trump said we're going to use the military. This is a military operation. Hours later, his head of DHS, Kelly, says, after being in Mexico, this is not a military operation. This is the Savage Nation. There'll be many, many other topics that I will bring up over the next couple of hours. The phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture, And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The pseudopod side. We'll talk about love. Want me to go into love right now? Because, listen, if you listen to a Beethoven symphony, it goes from the very loud and the very dramatic to the very soft and the very quiet. That's what a symphony is. So I've given you one very hard hour on deportations, on degenerates in the media who condone rape of children and have laugh machines behind them and supported by the degenerates who take magic mushrooms at HBO. I don't want to do it again. Maybe I want to talk about Love by the Sewer Plant, but I've done that before and it's not that much fun anymore. I was at a dinner party not too long ago, and there was an elderly lady next to me in her 80s. Wonderful woman, very wealthy woman, one of the wealthiest women in America, married several times, and she was drinking straight vodka out of a 16-ounce glass, like a, you know, they're trying to ban the big 16-ounce Slurpee glasses in New York, Bloomberg. I guess she never heard it because she was drinking out of a crystal cut glass, a 10-ouncer, and it was full of vodka with ice and didn't hurt her. She was literate from the beginning of the dinner party to the end, didn't slur a single word. I didn't know the woman. She was in very good shape for an 85-year-old. She reminded me of a man I know. I mean, I don't mean as a man, as a type of personality. Very smart, very creative, very urbane. Very, very nice woman. So I asked her about her marriages and this and that. You know, I'm a great talker. Even in private, I can be. So we were talking, and I said to her, something about her husband. I said, did you love him? And she looked at me with her raised eye, and she said, what is love? I thought that was a great answer. And then she took a sip of a vodka and she said, I buried him with my dog and someone else in a crypt. I said, you must have loved your dog. She took another sip of the vodka. I said, how old was your dog? What kind of dog was it? She told me what kind of dog it was. It lived to 20. And then she said she loved her father, but she didn't really love her husbands. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, a lot of women love their fathers. Some hate their fathers. This is not a topic that anyone ever talks about, is the father-daughter thing. Do you know that? It's a big topic, and I don't even know how to put my hands around the topic, but I'd love to talk about it. I don't even know how to bring it into this. It's not in Trump's war. It's not in there. But I can guarantee you, you know, when I watch Ivanka, you know that she loves her father. That's a very unusual thing today. A lot of women in their 30s and 40s cannot love their fathers. It's not because the father was such a bad guy. It's because their perception of men was warped during their life by the societal matrons and, you know, the teachings, in other words. I had a friend, he died years ago. I loved him. Lorenzo Petroni, you know him? I shouldn't have mentioned him. I can't tell the story now because I mentioned his name. But he was an Italian guy built like a tree. He was the kind of guy, if you slapped him on the back, it was like slapping an oak tree. Big, stocky, like a tree. I've mentioned him many times. He passed away years ago. Owned a wonderful Italian restaurant here in San Francisco. And I used to say I loved eating in his restaurant because I'd say, you know, Lorenzo, you worked me out so hard during a meal with me and you arguing. You're the only place I could eat Italian food and lose weight. He got a kick out of that one. This guy would pour salt. While you're eating, he would take a salt shaker and put salt into your dish. I'd have to slap his big mitts away. Anyway, I love the guy. But he and I talked many a time about how loud voices offend women. Do you know that? I don't know. It has nothing to do with DHS or the POTUS or anything like that. Trump doesn't have a loud voice. Listen very carefully. I'm an expert in speech and speech recognition and speech patterns. Has anyone analyzed Donald Trump's voice? Why is he so appealing? What is it about his speech that appeals to women particularly? A lot of white women turned to him at the end. Hillary thought she owned the white woman vote. Turned out in the last days, a lot of suburban white women turned on Hillary and turned towards Trump. Now, for good reason. They knew that Hillary had targeted white males for extinction with her laws and her, you know, attacks upon white privilege. The whole thing. They just didn't want their sons to wind up victims in the society anymore after 8 years of racism against them by the previous incarnation. You can't call on this. I don't even want to talk about Kelly and Trump anymore. I'm through. I'm over. I'm over with it. It's done. I don't know what I want to talk about. So I'll open it up to open mic. 855-407-2822. Boehner says they won't repeal Obamacare. What do I care what Boehner says? We know who he is. University students demand no whites allowed space. I saw that on Drudge this morning. If the dog keeps ripping my couch, I'm going to have to interrupt my show. He's doing it again. He just ate lunch, and now he's going crazy on my couch. You can hear it in the microphone. I know it. Dogs do this, no matter how nice they are. You Michigan students demand no whites allowed space to plot social justice activism. I throw them off the campus. A student activist group at the University of Michigan is demanding campus officials provide them with a permanent designated space on central campus for black students and students of color to organize and to do social justice work. Who are these bums? It's a clamor for a segregated space to organize social justice, even while the university has caved into these bums and is building a $10 million center just for black students in the center of campus. How much is this country going to take from these thugs until someone says, enough is enough, we're through with you? It's not your campus. You're part of the campus. And if you don't fit in, get the hell out. What is it going to take until America stands up to the thuggery? Why is there no college president willing to stand up to thuggery in no matter what color it comes in? Why? I have an answer to that one, but there's no point in saying it to you. We want a documentation of past, current, and future student activism. And this should be a permanent space that is staffed and has resources for students, to organize and share resources to demand letter states. These are dummies who never belonged on campus to begin with. These are dummies, in my opinion, who used affirmative action to get into the college. And because they cannot keep up with the academic standards, the first thing they do is scream about racism. It's an old game. And it's time for this game to end. There's a new president, there's a new tenor in America, and it is time to stand up to the old game. This has been going on since the 1960s. You get into the campus, then you can't keep up, so you scream about racism. I mean, if they were studying engineering or chemistry, they wouldn't have time for demanding a student of color center, would they? They'd be trying to learn something to go out and produce something. Now, who are the students for justice, and why would a whole college cave into them? Could anyone explain that to me? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Whenever I hear those words, I know that they're written by you-know-who. What do you mean, diversity, equity, and inclusion? What do those words actually mean? The same organization that criticizes the university for failing to create an environment that engages in diversity, equity, and inclusion is calling upon the university to undermine these very ideals by facilitating segregation, one where space and resources are designated for students based solely on the color of their skin. This is your idea of intelligence and reason? Students for Justice should be investigated and thrown off the campus. That's all. That's my opinion. Don't call me on it. I'm right. That's all. 855-407-2822. What if someone built a whites-only space? That couldn't happen. Why are these people allowed on campus is the real question. Why is this an issue? You know, the University of Michigan used to be a great university. It was a very revered university many years ago. You know that. Look at what they become today. The colleges. Take a look at most of them, what they've turned into. I have a few words I could use, but it's a family show. What's this one? Ginsburg. There's certain things that don't translate well into radio. Oscars is coming up Sunday. I won't watch them. I'd rather go to a homeless shelter and serve mashed potatoes than watch the Oscars. I would never go to a homeless shelter. Guilty liberals go there to serve turkey and mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving. Why they do that is anyone's guess. They don't need that. I won't go into it, but I've seen it before. I've seen them throw the sandwiches in the garbage. That's a liberal thing to do, is serve in soup kitchens. Does that make me a bad person because I won't serve food in a soup kitchen? Aren't there legions of liberals who do that kind of thing? That they serve things in soup kitchens to feel good? I don't get that. Who's Ginsburg says not best of times for the USA? Who's Ginsburg? Oh, her again? She's still around? Not best of times for the United States, says Supreme Court Justice the Hague Ginsburg. You know, I got to tell you something. When I see that woman's face or read her name, Ruth Bad Girl Ginsburg, this is a woman who never, ever, ever, ever should have been appointed to the Supreme Court. This witch, this evildoer, this monster was the head of the ACLU legal department when she was selected to become a member of the United States Supreme Court. She has been conducting havoc ever since she has been put on the Supreme Court. Now, I want to ask you a real serious question. If you can impeach a president, can you impeach a Supreme Court justice? And if not, why not? Why can you not impeach someone on the Supreme Court? Who put them above the law? This witch was a radical left-wing fanatic who had said the age of consent should be 14, by the way. I'm giving you a few things that I know about her. The Anti-Christian Liberties Union is the most dangerous organization in American history. It has done more damage to this country than you can ever imagine. And when the Justice Department gets all of its lawyers in place, and if I meet with the new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, I will lobby for a full and thorough investigation of the ACLU. Its funding, its alleged connections to foreign anti-American sources, its exorbitant salaries for its staff, its organization, organizational structure, its relationship to organizations that want to overthrow America. But I want to go back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Do you know who I'm talking about? She says these are not the best of times for America. That's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a woman who was nominated by Bill Clinton. She is not a liberal at all. She has been a radical all of her life. And she was attending the final dress rehearsal of a play at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., another play about social justice, looking at the moral ambiguity of the death penalty in America. That's not art. It's propaganda. Asked what most concerns are about the current climate, she said, our legislature, which is the first branch of government, is right now not working. You hear this? Now, I want to know why she shouldn't be impeached. I want to know why this old crazy woman, this leftist fanatic, should not be impeached. She never should have been appointed. Why is she put up on a pedestal as somebody great? She's not great. She's horrible. If a right-wing member, let me put it to you this way. I'm going on and on a favorite topic of mine. Maybe I should stop. I can see already you're not interested in her. I have a personal hatred for people like her. They've destroyed America. Don't think it's the college teachers have done it. It's the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs of the world. These are red diaper doper baby agitators that have poisoned the minds, and she's done it for 40 straight years. But put all of that aside. She has a right to be a far-left radical. We're a pluralistic nation. You can believe in anything you want. I get that. But how come they have an outcry when a guy is appointed who's not enough of a leftist? They say he's too conservative or too this, too that. What if you had appointed someone who'd been the chief legal counsel for the Ku Klux Klan to the Supreme Court? I'm giving you the exact comparison to what the ACLU is. The ACLU was the Ku Klux Klan of the left. Now, what if someone who had been legal counsel to the Ku Klux Klan was nominated by, let's say, a president for the Supreme Court? Well, it would never happen. Say, that person could never get on. How then did Ruth Bader Ginsburg get nominated and get appointed to the Supreme Court? I'll give you the answer. Rhinos. I guess I remember the day it happened. She was nominated and brought in by people of the type that are still in the U.S. Senate. They're called rhinos, okay? You're not interested in this. I have a fifth, sixth sense. I can tell when you're not interested. They're turning the radio already, searching for something more emotionally appealing. So when I come back, I'll hit you with something real hard right in the guts, I promise.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Actually, there's nothing emotional today on the set that I can talk about. There's a CPAC conference every year, the same apparatchiks get together and make deals with each other. It's of no interest to me. It's never been of any interest to me. We have a president now. For the first time in my life, we own the Senate, the House, and the presidency. Why are we wasting our time fighting amongst ourselves? Why are people at the CPAC conference wasting their time talking about 2020, the election in 2020? What's wrong with these people? If it's not now, it'll never be any time. Which brings me back to the Trump presidency. He's criticized for not having done anything yet. Can anyone tell me what Trump has not done that you wanted him to do in the first 30 days? What could he have done so far? Well, let's put it another way. What has Trump done that's wrong? That the whole world's screaming, Trump's this, Trump's that. What has he done wrong? I want to know. Tell me what he's done that's wrong. I don't know what he's done yet. There's another report coming out. I don't know if this means anything about Russian consul found dead in Athens. I don't know what that's, you know, another polonium sushi or whatever, polonium souvlaki. Russian consul Andrei Malanin found dead in Athens. You never know. Found dead in his flat. I don't like the word flat. It's an old phrase, like a British flat, you know, instead of saying apartment. It's like poseurs in America call their apartments flats to show that they're internationalists. Initial signs suggest that Andrei Malanin died of natural cause. A lot of people dying. That guy died. Everyone's dying. Heart attack, this, that. You're worrying about, do you have that fear of death? Okay. I've had it since I'm 5. As Don Juan said, you have to learn to live with death. Do you know that? That's the trick. That's the biggest trick in life, is to not fear death. Certainly don't welcome death. Tell death to go to hell, to pick someone else. But you got to learn to live with him. He's in the room everywhere you go. You know that every bite of food, he's there? I'll talk about it in a minute about death.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You see what's happening at the border. All of a sudden, for the first time, we're getting gang members out, we're getting drug lords out, we're getting really bad dudes out of this country, and at a rate that nobody's ever seen before, and they're the bad ones. And it's a military operation, because what has been allowed to come into our country, when you see gang violence that you've read about like never before, and all of the things, much of that is people that are here illegally.
All right, so we know there's a gang presence in America. We know that we hope to God that we'd have a president who would finally acknowledge it and take them on before they committed more havoc. So Trump was elected, and he said it's a military operation. Then he's immediately criticized by the Department of Homeland Security guy he appointed, General Kelly, in the following statement. And I will go back to this because I think Kelly needs to be fired. Listen to this.
Let me be very, very clear. There will be no, repeat, no mass deportations. Everything we do in DHS will be done legally and according to human rights and the legal justice system of the United States. No, repeat, no use of military force in immigration operations. None.
All right, so he sounds tougher than the president, number one. And I'm sure he's a tough guy, but he's just... basically, he said the president's wrong. How does that work? I want to know how that works. I'd like to know why he's not been reprimanded by the president or fired. All right, but no, I don't want to talk about it. I've done it already. We covered Muslim hate monger teacher fired for tweeting kill some Jews. We covered that. We covered the picture of me with the president making America great again from Saturday night. I can't believe it was Saturday night. It feels like 8 years ago. I got some feedback on that already. I'm not going to tell you about it. You know everything I said about him yesterday on the show? Everything I said, I meant every word. It was confirmed to me that everything I said about him is 100% true again. From an unnamed source who had a dinner with the president after I did, like 2 days later. He asked about me. He wanted to know how I am. He said, I love him. I swear to God. Pretty amazing. I wonder why he likes me. You think it's my message, borders, language, culture, or is it my sterling personality? Well, he probably knows that the audience is there, but no, he didn't have to say that. I think it's because he just, you know what I mean? Look, let's put it to you this way. How many people can he really trust in this world at this stage of his life? Now he's president. Can he trust anybody? Everyone's, you know, out for something. He knows I don't need anything. That's the number one thing to remember. I don't need anything. I'm not looking for a job. And that's number one. Everyone else wants something from him, a grant, a contract, a position. If I tell you something that he said to me, I don't know if I'll get in trouble. He did say something to me that was not funny. Well, I can't do it. I can't do it. I swear to God, I can't do it. I wish I could. But I always dreamed of being an ambassador. When I was a young man in graduate school, I always thought I'd be a good ambassador. But I wonder, if I were to become an ambassador, what country could I be? Could I be, let's say Trump said to me, Michael, you're great. You've written some great books. You're a brilliant guy. You got a great voice. You got a great following. Would you like to be an ambassador? I could be an ambassador to California. I thought about that. Don't you think I would make a good ambassador to California, which is like a foreign nation to this country? That'd be fantastic. I would enjoy that job a lot. It's like being in a foreign country here. It's more foreign than France living in this state right now. Making America great again. That was some night. It's like a dream to me right now. What else did I want to say to you? I don't know what I want to say to you. I'm a little foggy today. I have a meeting tonight. Drinks at 5 o'clock in a bar with some great special forces heroes that we're going to meet. Just a quick meeting. I wanted to meet them. They wanted to meet me. Tomorrow night, I'm busier than I've ever been in my life, and I'm freaked out by it. I'm such a recluse. Tomorrow night, I'm supposed to meet with Congressman Culberson, who I can tell you without violating any. He's right now in Pasadena at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Remember we had Congressman Culberson on the show a few weeks ago? Great guy from Texas. Since I have no representation, I have a relationship with him going back a few years. All right, it turns out as the worm turns, he is now the head of the subcommittee that controls the budget for the Justice Department and NASA and the National Science Foundation and the Department of Commerce. He is the number one guy on that subcommittee. It's a $58 billion budget that goes through this guy's office. Now, what's ironic to me is that I had him out here years ago in San Francisco. I had given a donation to the Young Museum Fine Arts Fund, and there was a big dinner. I invited him. They snubbed him. The old ladies here wear like old clothing, clothes that they like, dresses that they buy and give back with the tags inside. They make believe they're rich. They live on Pacific Heights on their grandfather's money. They have no jobs. Their children are junkies. Their husbands are sleeping with the maid. So these women acted like they were real hot stuff. I try to introduce the congressman. Oh, who's he? He's a nobody. He now controls a $58 billion budget. And let me tell you something. You know, there's a little overlap there. You see, girls, since the Justice Department's going to oversee your sanctuary city policies, you have to understand the world has changed under the doyens of old clothing here in San Francisco. So I'm supposed to meet with him tomorrow night to talk about, I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking with him about, which is science and what I can do to help in the world of science to rein in the out-of-control budget. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to Washington. Don't get me wrong. Hey, let me tell you something right now. You want me to level with you? If I wanted a job in Washington, I could snap my finger and have one in 10 minutes. I'm not doing it. I could stop. I could cancel radio because I can't do both. I could take a government job, top-level job in a science, something or whatever. And I couldn't last a day. I could not be around bureaucrats or in a bureaucracy. It's not me. It's not who I am. But, you know, there are ways to contribute what you know, like as an advisor, I guess. I don't want any money for it. I'm not looking for GS designation or any kind of income. But I can guarantee you, as I sit here, all of these free rides for these fake scientists are going to be over very soon. The fake science is going to end. We're going to have real science. The fake scientists are going to have to go out and get a real job. They may be serving little sausages at Costco before it's over. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an honest job. It's more honest than taking a grant for conducting fake scientific research, using a PhD for illegal, services. Serving a real sausage is actually better than serving false science when you think about it. Think about that one. I think I said that to President Trump. I said many of these scientists should be serving small sausages at Costco instead of serving fake science to the academic world. He liked that one. He got a kick out of me. I'm a kibitzer. I'll tell you about kibitzer. You know what a kibitzer is? It's a New York phrase for a guy who likes... how do you put it? Actually, how do you translate that word, a kibitzer? You know the guy who has a knack for like... What's a kibitzer? Can anyone tell me what that actually means? A guy who can tell stories and keep you moving? Nah, that's not the... It's something along the lines of a guy... You know, there's always someone in the crowd who's like kind of funny. Not that he's goofy looking. I'm saying he's a funny kind of guy. He says things that make you give you a chuckle, and he's smart. He keeps it moving. He's like the shortstop of the conversation. Let's put it to you that way. He keeps the game going. Kibitzer, I go in a store. I like to talk to people. California, they're all stiffs. It's hard to have a conversation in California if you're a New Yorker like me. That's how I got into radio. Commentary. This term is used for a non-participant spectator in contract bridge. No. The verb kibitz can also refer to idle chatting or side conversations. That's not what a kibitzer is. That's not at all what it is. Anyway, the point is that every man likes to have a friend like that. I know someone who was in a hospital at the end of his life, a wonderful man, a war hero, World War II, had cancer later on in his life, and was suffering in a hospital. He was of the Christian faith, but in the same cancer ward with him was a Jewish guy. He was never at all involved in any way with politics, but he was of a Christian, Anglo-Saxon, quiet world. This Jewish guy was dying of cancer also. They're both wearing the hospital, gowns, and this Jewish guy was known as the kibitzer. He was telling jokes. He was keeping them going. They loved him to death in the cancer ward. You know what I'm saying? Now you understand what a kibitzer is? That in the eyes of death, he's still telling stories. He's still making people laugh. He's still making them feel good. I think that's the best definition of a kibitzer. For all these years, 22 years, while America was dying here in this country, who was here kibitzing you? Me. Who was keeping you going? Now that we own the presidency, the Senate, and the Congress, why are we not doing more? Why are these people at CPAC undermining the president in every way they can? Most of them are. Why are they talking about elections coming up years from now? Why? Why aren't they not supporting President Trump right now? Why are we letting the rhinos and the liberal fake Republicans take control of the dialogue? Why? I don't know the answer. What else is in the news? Michael Savage Flynn is a scapegoat. That's old news. I'm looking at my website. There's nothing here. I'm not into it. There's no show today because there's nothing in the news. It's all like fake. It's invented news. Like, what does it matter what this general said about the military? They're still going to deport these guys. They're going to throw them out anyway. Justice may crack down on legalized marijuana. Oh, I hope so. Oh, I hope they do. I really hope that the pot farmers are arrested. I hope that the fake drug dealers get there. I really don't like this at all. Here's one of my pet peeves in the world. We all know the dangers of drunk driving, right? We all know that there are people who are allergic to certain things in the world, right? Like perfume. I cannot be in a room with women with perfume. I get sick from it. Cologne, same with the man. It's not a sexist thing. I hate cologne. I hate perfume. If you could smell it, it means that molecules from that substance that are on the woman's face, the man's face, are entering your nostrils, entering your brain. It means you're being poisoned. In other words, the molecules are entering your brain. I hate it. It's a chemical poison. And I react to it. I have an allergic reaction. So wherever I go, no cologne, no perfume. Wherever it is, if I'm renting a limo, let's say a car, a limo, let's say a car to pick me up from an airport. I always say, tell the driver no cologne. Because unfortunately, you get an Iranian driver. Well, I'm not knocking it because it's a cultural thing. Iranians tend to like cologne. I don't know what it is about that culture. God bless the Iranian culture, but the men. If you go to a car dealership and the guy's Iranian, again, I love the Iranian people, but if they put their hand on a door handle and you touch that handle, 3-4 days, you can't get it off your hand. I don't know where they get it from, that level of cologne. Robert, am I kidding? Look at like two stiffs sitting there. I'm looking at them, and they don't laugh at my jokes there in Dallas. No, come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. I know a lot of people who don't. They don't use cologne. By the way, if you're going on a dating app, I don't go on those things. But do you go on a dating app? Do they talk about no cologne? Yeah, that's interesting. What if a guy says I'm allergic to cologne? You wouldn't go out with him. Think about that one. Let's say you go to Match.com, and the first thing the guy says is no perfume. You think he's a sick guy. Like, what, are you kidding me? He's telling me I can't wear perfume. You wouldn't go out with him. Not a handsome, rich, successful, accomplished. The guy puts on Match.com no perfume. Don't go near him, by the way. I'm giving you girls some good advice. I'm not talking about me. I'm saying watch out for that kind of guy. Because if anyone who, like, advertises that, because let's say the guy is allergic to perfume. He shouldn't say it on Match.com. He should go out with you first and, like, put up with it. Bear with the perfume like a man. Go in the bathroom and wash your eyes out a few times. Wipe the eyes, and if she says, what's wrong with you? So I'm thinking of my deceased mother. But you got to put up with it the first few dates. Then, when you're getting along, you slowly bring it up. By the way, honey, that perfume is killing me. I mean, that's a test right there. That stuff you have on, I don't care, was given to you by your deceased grandmother. Please, I can never see you. I'm just joking. What is this now? There's no news. Justice may crack down on legalized marijuana. What I just did for you is kibitzing. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hey, Dr. Michael Savage back with you. Let's talk for a moment about blood flow, just for a minute. We all know that healthy circulation is critical, especially as we get older. There's a natural way to support healthy blood flow, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body, which convert into nitric oxide. Is it complicated? No. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates. One scoop in water or a smoothie, and you're all set. This is the secret to helping support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. Super Beets works three times faster to give you results you can feel. Plus, it tastes great. You see, it's all about blood flow. I happen to take Super Beets every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes. So call 800-481-0504. Write it down. That's 800-481-0504. Or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order. It is backed by a money-back guarantee. You're also going to get a free book called Beat the Odds and free shipping on your entire order. And listen, you love the results you feel with your first free canister, guaranteed, or you get your money back, okay? 800-481-0504. And now on to the news. Remember, Trump last week said something about Sweden, that there are areas that the cops can't go into, and the liars in the fake news business attacked them, said, Trump says fake thing about Sweden, it's all a lie, said the Wolfies and the Jakes, the fake newsmen. Sweden politicians and the cops in Sweden just admitted Trump spoke the truth when he characterized the Muslim refugee-led crime wave that Sweden is suffering from. That's right, you heard me. That's right, it's 100% true, and you don't have to be a genius to know the truth. Comes from the Daily Mail, the Stockholm suburb that was hit by violent riots on Monday is a police no-go zone where cars are torched almost every day, gangs rule the streets, and fire engines have to be fitted with bulletproof glass. Residents of the Muslim-dominated town of Rinkeby, where 9 out of 10 residents are immigrants, have spoken about how they live in fear, as Swedish politicians and police officers admitted that Trump was right. One resident said, I'm scared most of the time when I leave my apartment. I've been assaulted twice and robbed once since I moved to Rinkeby. The criminal gangs can do what they want. So Trump was telling the truth, and those in the fake news business were doing what they do best, which is practice a form of yellow journalism. Trump was right. Inside the Stockholm suburb, where cars are torched, drugs sold openly, and fire engines must be bulletproofed. We are talking about the Muslim-dominated town of Rinkeby in the suburb of Stockholm. Young Muslim men set fire to cars, loot shops, throw stones at police. Okay, I could go on and on. We have to end this. It's time to crack down. It's time to slam the door shut. It's time to deport them using any means necessary. The criminal illegal aliens need to be thrown out using the National Guard. You can't use the military because of posse comitatus? Fine. Use the National Guard.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
In San Francisco, sweating my you-know-whats off, Trump says it's time for U.S. to boost its nuclear arsenal. Good. Mexico tells Trump team the president is making them nervous. Excuse me? You've been making us nervous for the last 25 years by dumping your, let us say, undesirables on us. What do you mean, making you nervous? You take care of the people that you threw out of your own country. Swedish politician proposes paid sex breaks for workers. You hear this? Now, you know, I don't know. You know, I could go on and on about Sweden. How does a nation that's comprised largely of descendants of Vikings degenerate into jelly? Answer, liberalism and drugs. First the drugs, then the liberalism. Or was it first? What came first, liberalism and then the drugs, or drugs, then liberalism? How did the Scandinavian nations degenerate so rapidly and get so overrun by flotsam and jetsam of the third world that don't work, commit crimes, have families of 10, 12 children? You know what Sweden is going to look like in 20 years unless they stop this insanity? Deadly storm wreaks havoc across UK. That's a news story. Deadly storm. Did you read your Dickens about the storms that used to hit England and the United Kingdom? I guess they never read Dickens. What do you mean deadly storm wreaks havoc across UK? Why is that a news story? You know anything about the storms in England? They come directly from Russia. Did you know that? They come right over into England. They make it sound like it's something new, like global warming. Storm Doris battered Britain and Ireland. 94-mile-an-hour winds in Wales. Heavy snow forcing school closures in Scotland. Power cut to thousands of homes in Ireland. All right, so a storm hit them. They're basically storms that come in from Russia, right through the Arctic Circle. I mean, you got to study a little bit about. It's not about global warming. It's just a big storm. Dickens wrote about people freezing to death in the snow. Pope says it's better to be an atheist. This Pope, this bouncer, this communist bum, I don't want to offend Catholics. I don't know how to put this. If there was a Jewish leader who was as communistic as this Pope, I'd say the same exact thing. He is an evil man. The Pope is a fanatical left-wing. He's like Ruth Bader Ginsburg with a white outfit. Pope Francis delivered another criticism of some members of his own church on Thursday, suggesting it is better to be an atheist than one of many Catholics who he said lead hypocritical double lives. Yeah, I'd like to know about the hypocritical double lives in the Vatican. Tell me about that, Popey. There are those who say I am very Catholic. I always go to Mass. I belong to this and that association. The head of the 1.2 billion member Roman Catholic Church said. But he said some of these people should also say my life is not Christian. I don't pay my employees proper salaries. I exploit people. I do dirty business. I launder money. I lead a double life. What kind of man is this? Why would the Catholic Church, you know, since he was elected in 2013, I've tried to tell you who this man is. He is not what you would call, well, let's put it to you this way. Let's tell you his background. He was the first non-European selected to be Pope in 1,200 years. Now, that unto itself is very odd, isn't it? Where did he come from? Who picked him? How is it they picked a man who had been a bouncer in a bar, who then went into the church, knowing that the church was a guaranteed place to rise, who then becomes Pope, who then weighs in on subjects that have nothing to do with Catholicism? The Dakota Access Pipeline is what he's talking about? And he's in, you know, he may be senile. He may be senile. He may be showing signs of senility, and someone's got to understand. Why do Catholics not understand this? Do educated Catholics not understand that you can have an evil man as Pope? Why do you not understand this? What is it? Do you actually believe he's the Son of God? I'm challenging Catholics to answer this question. Do you actually believe that the Pope is the Son of God? And what, he's infallible? He can't make a mistake? And the cardinals can't be all communists who put him in to destroy the world? No, forget about it. No one's listening to me. Even though I met the president at dessert with him for 90 minutes, apparently no one's listening. They're interested in CPAC right now. Very interesting topic. There's a really fascinating topic, CPAC. I'm reading my horoscope. I read it every day. Does that make me an atheist that I read the horoscope? Look what it says about me. Aries, if your rivals know more about you than you know about them, that puts you at a big disadvantage. As from today, you need to be a bit less open about what you're up to. Uh-huh. You must always keep others guessing. Knowledge is power. All right. Big. I don't know what it means. It sounds smart, but I have no idea what it means. You know, you read all of them. What does this nonsense mean? Don't waste time trying to keep your thoughts and feelings to yourself, because loved ones will know in an instant what it is you are trying to hide. Be honest about what is going on in your life and in your head. What does that mean? Taurus, be true to your principles today and resist the temptation. I'm not going to read this anymore. It's not interesting. A wild secret sex party is coming to New York City. Oh, how exciting. Hedonists. Oh, they're the first hedonists in the history of the world. Oh, look at that. Look, I have one too. Hedonism. They've never heard about the Club 54. Outrage in New York City over food carts serving free food only for black people. When is this going to end, the segregation and racism coming from non-whites? When does it end? The whites have been beaten into a corner where they can't even say what they see anymore, let alone put up with the racism. All right, forget it. You're not interested in that. I am. Let's see what's on the websites. Okay. I did the horoscope. Not interested. Catholic Church. Not interested. Now it's about Steve Bannon at CPAC. Not interested. I'm not interested in the barfly saying she has not been sidelined. Not interested. She's been sidelined. Yes, she has. Immigration, most important issue for Trump and Congress, says a poll. No kidding. Of course that's important. Boeing fighter jet gets new life from Trump tweets. Okay, that's good. Conservatives praise transgender bathroom decision. That was so unnecessary what Obama did to this country. What a troublemaker. Where is he? Where is Obama now? You know, he's too quiet. I like knowing where he was. It was a safer world when I knew where him and the old lady were. Where are they now? What are they doing? I don't know. Last I checked, she went to Necker Island in the British Virgin Islands on a free trip. She likes that. She likes free trips. She got used to it. So the head of that airline, what's his name? Virgin. It's ironic to fly people on Virgin Airlines who aren't. That's a joke. Come on. That's just a joke. It's not referring to her in any way. Come on. I'm trying to keep your attention here. Why is that guy from Virgin Airlines, what is his name, Baumgarten? What's his name, Richard Baumgarten? I changed it. I wanted to make him like an ethnic guy from New York. Richard Branson. They'll call him a Zionist next. Everybody they don't like, these Jew haters on the internet, everyone they don't like, they change their name into like a Jewish surname. Richard Branson becomes Richard Baumgarten. It's crazy. The inherent hatred of people is frightening. So, where are they right now? Where's the ex-first couple? What are they doing? You gotta know they're on a free trip somewhere, right? Okay, let me take a caller. That's what I'm going to do. Mike on what's this? Mike on WSBA in Pennsylvania. SBA, line 9. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I know I've listened to you long enough to know that even though you say you're a loner and et cetera, that you really are loyal, a loyal person, not blindly loyal, but loyal. And were you surprised at the loyalty shown to you by President Trump?
That is a fabulous question.
Well, thank you.
I was overwhelmed by his support for me. Let me say some things that are hard to say that have to be said in code. I was surprised that I had not heard from the president after all that we all did for him to get him elected, especially since I knew that he had reached out to some people who had done very little for him. And I suspected all along that it was some people within the inner circle who were blocking me because, as I said to you, I've studied revolutions. It's true in all revolutions. When a new king ascends to the throne, the inner circle tries to block access to that king. They didn't want me near him because I'm far more accomplished than they are. I mean, look, I'm not going to fight with you over this. The barfly was unknown. No one ever heard of her before, 3 months before the election. The barfly had nothing to do with his victory. She was there in the last 3 months, the barfly. The website operator. Has he ever written anything that you'll remember? Is he known for having written a single word that you can quote? Has Barfly ever written anything that you can quote? No. I have many quotable things that I have written and stated, such as borders, language, and culture, which basically shaped the entire Trump campaign. Okay, so let's go past the self-aggrandizement for a minute. But I never got invited to the inauguration. I never got any thanks. I figured something's wrong, and I figured it out. I knew it was the Inner Circle. I figured it was Barfly and the website guy who were doing it. I really didn't say anything because I figured that's how things are. So when I was invited to Mar-a-Lago by Chris Ruddy of Newsmax to come to dinner, and he said, Laura Ingraham will be at the table, and then he named some other people. I didn't know the people, but they were turning out to be really great people. I said, well, look, Chris, is the president going to be there? He said, we don't know. We don't know if he shows up or not. We can't predict. He generally goes to Mar-a-Lago on the weekends, but he's the president. He could decide to go to Brazil for the weekend for a business meeting, right? So I had to calculate two things. A, would he be there when I'm there? B, would I have a chance to say hello to him and get a gauge of whether he even knows who I am? I took a chance on both. Either faith, I took the chance. My faith was rewarded in ways you could never imagine. And after the initial greeting, when he walked in, I must tell you, as he walked in with his entourage, I didn't wait for an introduction. Being from New York, I stood up. I violated all protocol. No, I did. I'm telling you point blank. They said, sit down, sit down. I said, I didn't get where I am by listening to anyone. You sit down. I went up, and I went right up to the president. I said, President Trump, it's Michael Savage. We love you and the Savage Nation. I got to tell you, that's what I did. I didn't sit there like a maiden waiting to be recognized. Well, from there on, we were best of friends because he loves bold people. And he really liked me. And it wasn't like, oh, yeah, shine me on. He said things I told you that he said. I wouldn't be president without this guy. You need another 25 years on earth. I mean, I'm not going to, I'll do the short version. But, you know, it was really interesting to me what happened. It was about an hour into the dinner, he was alone at his table with his lovely, classy wife and some other folks. And he and I had talked, I guess, in the vestibule, and I said, I'd love to talk with you about science and saving billions of dollars on the fake science. He said, okay, let's try to talk later. So an hour went by, and again, being a pushy New Yorker, I didn't wait for him to invite me over. I'm not like a fading butterfly waiting to be invited. I'm not like a chick waiting to be asked to dance. I'm an aggressive male, like he is. So one of the people who runs the club came over to me and said, did you want to speak to the president about something? You said that. He asked me to come over and ask, yeah, da, da, yeah. So they gave me the wave over. I went and sat down with him and Mrs. T, and I told her how moved I was by her Lord's Prayer, da, da, da. Then she left for her evening. I was left with the president alone with one gentleman friend of his, probably a long-term friend who he trusts very much, to read me. That's what I'm guessing. Apparently, they both really loved me. They just could, you know, man to man, they gauged it, they liked me. He had me sit there for 90 minutes. I thought it was 9 seconds. People were watching me saying, who is that guy? Why is he there? What is the president talking about? How could he be there for 90 minutes with him? Then the ice cream came out and the chocolate syrup. I was like, I was having a good time. And all I can say is this. Yes, I was very surprised, number one, by the absolute genuine warmth that he projected, and two, by the fact that he invited me to go to a certain place in the future that I will not tell you about until it happens, okay? Let's leave it at that. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. See, the good news now in my life has changed. I don't need anyone at all right now. I used to, like, want certain people to acknowledge me. I wanted certain people to, you know, invite me. You know what? They need me right now. I don't need them. All these big-shot Hollywood actors, you know, who claim to be conservatives, I can guarantee you they'd like to know me now rather than I know them. WRVA in Virginia. Anna, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I want to start by saying, you know, with President Trump, I think it's more than loyalty he's getting for you, and I think there's admiration in there. But the big thing that I noticed is you're very like-minded, even though you grew up on different sides of Queens, you have a very stable and reasonable point of view. And by the way,
let me say that. My guess is that I remind him somewhat of two people. I would think his father was a little bit like me in blunt, straight talking and very humorous. But I think that all the years of building huge buildings in New York City, who did he work with? Union guys, plumber unions, electrical unions, carpenter unions, you name it, cement people. He worked with people who were from the real world. And the only way you could navigate that world was being real with them, because they'll read right through you. They'll run you over like with a cement truck if you're giving them the BS job. And he had to probably overcome, oh, he's just a rich guy's son, you know what I'm saying? They probably felt him out to see if he had any vulnerability and toughened him and made him stronger. So that's where he's coming from. I'm guessing that he sees that element in me. But then there's, of course, the intellect that goes beyond the plumbers union. He certainly knows what I'm capable of on the radio. He's listened to me for years. I would think he has read a few of the books, if not entirely in part. And so you put all those pieces together, you could see why he wanted to have dessert with me for 90 minutes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I read that Google has committed $11.5 million to racial justice efforts. And you read into what? Google's charitable arm is pumping $11.5 million into 10 orgs fighting for so-called racial justice. Now, what this is really about is attacking white police. You see, there's a group of people at Google who are part of the Black Googlers Network. Now, there's no white Googlers Network that I know of. There's no Asian Googlers Network. There's no Hispanic Googlers Network. There's no straight Christian Googlers Network. So why should there be a Black Googlers Network? Let you figure out why. So Google's giving this group of race baiters $11.5 million to lend their time and skills to look into police shootings. You see, they said there's 18,000 law enforcement agencies that each track their own data with no central database. But this fascist organization wants to be the new central database for police departments across America. I'm going to ask you a question out there. Did any of you elect Google to become an oversight of police in America? Did any of you ask that rat who runs Google, that tax evader, to give this hit squad money to harass police after police are being killed in America like fish in a barrel? We have a Justice Department. I would like the Justice Department of the Trump administration to step in and stop Google from attacking our police. The questions to you are very simple. Should General Kelly be fired for basically, I shouldn't say criticizing, he conflicted what the president said. He overrode it as though he's the president. Here is a military man, General Kelly, who let his power get to his head. General Kelly needs to be fired, in my opinion. I don't care how good he was on the battlefield. I don't care how good he was in NATO. I don't care how good he was bossing other soldiers around. He is a disaster as a politician, and he needs to be fired immediately. We need a new DHS secretary immediately. Agree or disagree? Yes or no? Or on the issue of the TV clown, the small clown from HBO who uses laugh boxes to make you think he's more popular than he is. We're talking about two totally different subjects, aren't we? One of Trump's appointees, General Kelly, put in charge of DHS. Now, anybody would be an improvement over the last cretin, Jay Johnson, who was a Wall Street lobbyist and lawyer, put there to make sure that as many illegals flooded into America as possible, that American conservatives were targeted by the DHS, that Christians would have to bake cakes for people they didn't want to bake cakes for. That's what DHS was doing to us for 8 straight years under Obama. So don't get me wrong, anything is better. But for General Kelly to get up today and basically override the president saying the military will not be used to deport dangerous criminals. He's saying no troops for immigration enforcement after meetings in Mexico City. So the Mexicans turned him. And this was just hours after President Trump said his new deportation policies were a military operation. I'm quoting him now. He just said this hours ago. Trump said his new deportation policies were a military operation. He was overridden by his appointee, who said there will be no use of military forces in immigration. This is while Kelly was in Mexico meeting with Mexican officials. Now, why should we give a rat's behind what Mexican officials think about our deportation policies when it's they themselves who have flooded us with their unwanted, by the way? I'll let you figure this one out. Then we have a TV comedian, Bill Maher, who is, I think, one of the unfunniest men in the world. He lives off the laugh machines and the largesse of the HBO maniacs, and he's entitled to it. But after taking credit for having gotten the provocateur, white trash Milo, fired for condoning a pedophilia, somebody found a 1998 video where Bill Maher condoned sex between a 12-year-old boy and a 30-some-odd-year-old woman. He got her pregnant. Now, I think that this is sickening, and I think that HBO has an obligation to the American people, but of course they don't, so what's the difference what I think? And that leads me to Trump's culture wars. No one's talking about the culture. There's no mention of cultural topics. Have you heard anyone, even in the Trump administration, talk about pornography or the drug epidemic? I haven't really heard it. This is from the chapter in the great book, Trump's War. And I want to go into this for 1 minute and then get back to the news. Let me tell you what American culture has been for most of our history. Until the 1960s, I write, America was a socially conservative nation based on Judeo-Christian morality, the Protestant work ethic, and love of country. Businessmen used to be called captains of industry and were revered for their achievements. Working people found long hours and frugality rewarding, knowing that even if they never became millionaires themselves, they were building a better future for their children. I was raised that way. Americans have always loved a party, but sobriety and responsibility were virtues. Licentiousness and excess were frowned upon. The man who allowed drunkenness to impair his ability to provide for his family was called a drunk. The man who wasn't faithful to his wife was called a cad. As late as the 1950s, Americans overwhelmingly loved their country. They revered the founding fathers as pioneers of the ideas that had built the bountiful society that they enjoyed. Everyone sought to emulate wealthy businessmen rather than excoriate them as exploiters or victim workers. Most people dutifully attended religious services and thanked God for their blessings they had received. They worked and complained little. Complaining about one's circumstances used to be considered a sign of personal weakness. People used to talk about how they were going to improve their own condition, not what somebody else owed them. Anyone under 40 reading this probably thinks I'm talking about another planet. Certainly nothing I've just said or written describes America today. The wealthy are now vilified, no matter how honestly they earn their money, vilified. Licentiousness, drunkenness, and drug use are now revered as hip, while sobriety and self-control are denigrated as square. The Protestant work ethic persists out in flyover country, but in America's urban centers, it's extinct and laughed at. Rather than starting out at the bottom and working their way up the ladder as they gain skills and experience, America's barristers and burger flippers would rather protest until some politician forces employers to pay them more than they're worth. I then go into the entertainment industry in a subchapter called That's Not Entertainment. I think you could write that one yourself. I then go into a subchapter entitled Plato Warned Us. Oh, that's a great classic. What Plato wrote about entertainers thousands of years ago in Plato's Republic. He didn't write about Donnie has two daddies. He understood that that is what it would come to. What may surprise you is that the ancient Greek philosopher Plato wrote about entertainers. Plato foresaw the low-life degenerates who would come to dominate the entertainment world. He wrote a whole dialogue on artists and musicians and what they would do to society, quote, if amusements become lawless. Pay attention, HBO. Plato was writing about you, crazy SOBs from New York City. You degenerates, you. Plato said that music itself could bring with it a spirit of license. which at first appears harmless, but eventually penetrates all aspects of society, from manners and customs to contracts, laws, and constitutions. By doing so, he wrote, this spirit of license can result in the overthrow of all rights, private as well as public. Now, just think of today's rap stars rubbing their crotches on stage. Isn't that what Plato was talking about? Certainly such amusement is harmless, isn't it? Now, I can read more of it, but you're going to read it yourself in Trump's Culture Wars, found within Trump's war. It's all there. But fortunately for us, God is back in America. Right now, we have an overlap of the degeneracy of the Obama years with the cleanliness of the Trump years that are just emerging. And yesterday on this program, I talked about God is back in America. And I talked about the fact that while many in the vermin media, the fake media, criticized and even mocked First Lady Melania Trump's reading of the Lord's Prayer at the rally Saturday in Florida, I saw it as a very significant and symbolic act. And I said this. Take a look at the currency that you have in your pocket, if you still have any paper currency, and you'll see statements such as, in God we trust. It doesn't say in Soros we trust. It doesn't say in Obama or Schumer we trust. It says, in God we trust. God is back in America. And I think it was God's will that this underdog Donald Trump won. Now, it's been said that America loves an underdog. And it's true that America does love an underdog. It just shows you that the media is not America. It shows you that the government media complex is the old world order. It is not America. And that's why Trump calls those vermin in the media, or solenterates if you want to be classy about it, fake newsmen, fake newswomen. Trump is 100% right. I frankly was tearing up when Melania, Mrs. Trump, came out and read the Lord's Prayer. I cannot believe what I was listening to, that she had brought back God and dignity to the presidency after 8 years of the opposite. You're going to tell me Obama went to church? You're going to tell me Obama or Mrs. Obama ever referred to God in 8 years? So you've got to understand what this battle is about right now on this planet. It's those of us who believe that God exists, or know that God exists, and see God as good, and God is behind America, and those who don't believe in God, the atheists who hate America, and want a new world order government to run this country and use it as a basic cannon fodder for their needs. It's all true. That's why I said it. So now let's talk about what happens when a superior is publicly undermined by an inferior in the military. I was just sent an email. It says, in the military, isn't undermining a superior grounds for some level of discipline? It certainly is in law enforcement. For example, if the captain of a precinct gives a public statement about, let's say, some event that's ongoing, how it's going to be handled, and then hours later, a sergeant or lieutenant in the same precinct gets up and says the opposite, that sergeant would not be there very long. He'd be put on administrative leave. Is there anyone in the military who can tell me I am wrong? Shouldn't a general understand that he is not the boss, that he reports to the commander-in-chief? Yes or no? I know most of you don't think this is a big deal, so I can move on. The big issue is, how would you deport? I don't know how many of them there are. I would guess millions of them. How would you deport the millions of criminal illegal aliens in America? Let me ask you that question. These are tough guys. They're murderers, rapists. Murderers, rapists, some of the worst people on the planet. And they're running rampant in the United States of America. The cops are afraid of them. They're outgunning the police in Los Angeles. You and I both know there are neighborhoods that police in L.A. can't go into. It's like Malmo, Sweden, only it's not Muslims. It's Mexican gangs that the police are afraid of. How would you deport them? If they're here illegally, number one, and they've committed crimes, number two, how would you deport them other than using the military? Can you explain it to me? So Donald Trump said, we're going to use the military. This is a military operation. Hours later, his head of DHS, Kelly, says, after being in Mexico, this is not a military operation.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
General Motors is investing $1 billion in U.S. plants, adding or keeping 7,000 jobs, and is going to be investing a lot more than that over the next fairly short period. Lockheed Martin has 18, they've just announced 1,800 new jobs, and U.S. plants are doing a great job, and we started negotiating with them a little bit on the F-35. They've cut their price a little bit. Thank you very much. You cut a price over $700 million, right? By over $700 million. Do you think Hillary would have asked for $700 million? Oh boy, I hope you. I assume you wanted her to win.
All right, so they cut the price of the F-35 by $700 million, and you got schmucks in the streets screaming racism, anti-gay, anti-immigrant. Meanwhile, he's doing just what he promised to do. He's making America great again. He's bringing jobs back. He's cutting the cost of government projects. What more do you want this man to do in such a short period of time? You have to ask yourself. Now, here's an odd story that I must read to you out of Miami. A group of Miami gangsters, let's put it to you this way, they don't look like, let's just say Miami gangsters. They got in a gun battle during the Martin Luther King Jr. Day parade. I guess they celebrated civil rights by shooting each other. Gun battle emerges. 8 people are wounded because of the bullets that are flying around. Stampede is caused at the annual celebration in Liberty City. So 2 guys are arrested. Gerald Brownlee, 18, and Robert Bob Britt, 17, are arrested. Right? Take a guess what happened next. In arresting the pair, Miami-Dade police originally said that Brownlee and Britt were part of a gun battle that broke out between 2 rival street gangs at the Martin Luther King Jr. event meant to honor the iconic civil rights leader. I guess that's how they celebrate, by killing each other over there. It left 5 teens and children and 3 adults with bullet wounds. Are you ready for this? Take a guess what just happened. They were released because of Florida's Stand Your Ground law. Their verminous lawyers, the rats with law degrees, said that they were defending themselves against the other gang, and so therefore they were released from prison. Florida's 2005 Stand Your Ground law has made prosecuting people involved in public gun battles difficult, with each side asserting they had no duty to retreat in the face of a threat. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you, how evil some lawyers can be? That they take a law that was meant to protect civilians from bad people and use it to protect bad people. His lawyer, Antonio Valiente, said police rushed to judgment because of publicity. He said my client, Robert, was innocent. He was innocent, even though he's a hardcore gang member, even though he was in a gun battle, even though he's obviously a bad person, and people are wounded in a gun battle. The lawyer used his clever little mind to spring him. That's an amazing story when you think about it. Stand Your Ground law helps free Miami teens accused of MLK Dade shooting that wounded 8. This all has to be cleaned up under the new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. It has to be cleaned up. It will be cleaned up. It will take time. This administration has many, many brooms and many, many people with strong hands.